God. Amen. Good to see you today. I hope you're having a great first of the year. Praise the Lord. It's January the 8th. And, amen, I don't know what to say, but congratulations to Mr. McCarthy. After 15 votes, historic votes, he's now the Speaker of the House. And I'm sure he's basking in the glow of being the duly elected Speaker of the House. So he's number three, in case something happens to the other two. So we pray that not happen. But anyway, I do have one birthday here. Does anybody have a birthday? Yeah, you had a birthday. Did you have a birthday? Yeah, on the 5th? How many?
Seven.
All right. How was it? Was it a good birthday? You're going to celebrate your birthday today? Today's your party. Outstanding. Very good, my friend. Okay. Do we have any other birthdays? This guy had his on the 5th.
I have a brand new granddaughter that was born on the 6th.
Granddaughter born on the 6th. What's her name?
Mary
Lynn. Mary Lynn. L-Y?
L-Y-N.
Mary. Mary Lynn Schry. Schry is? Schry. And she was how much?
5 lbs.
Well, she a little bitty thing. How long?
17 and a quarter.
Ooh, all right. 17.25. She's a redfish. You have to throw her back. All right. Amen. Okay. Very good. Okay. So I got Robert Tosh on the 8th.
Yeah.
Amen. So tell Robert happy birthday. And then Mary Lynn Shrive born on the 6th. That's good. Good. Great news. Amen. Give the Lord a hand for that new baby. Amen. All right. I don't see any more birthdays. All right. Okay. Let's sing some happy birthday. All right. We'll get with it.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing All Hail King Jesus.
Give you everything.
Heavenly Father, we just come here today to honor and praise your holy name and lift you up on high. God, we just thank you for this worship music and the choir, Lord, and Jeremiah leading the music, and Lori, and we just ask you this morning to, we thank you for our visitors. We have visitors today. We just thank you, and we pray that they're blessed, Lord, with the word today. And, Lord, we just lift our pastor up to you this morning as he brings the word, Lord. We just pray you put that word on his heart and just let the word be spoken, and the Holy Spirit just flow through this church and touch each and every one of us, Lord. We pray if there's anybody here today that don't know you, Lord, we pray they come forward and give their life to you, Lord. That's the greatest thing for today, Lord. Lord, and we just give just a small portion back to you, Lord, and just thank you for everything again you give us, Lord. And we just ask you to bless this offering in Jesus' holy, holy, precious name. Amen.
Amen.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 He heals the brokenhearted and they cry no more. He heals the brokenhearted and they cry no more. He heals the brokenhearted and they cry no more. The joy of the Lord is my strength. He gives me living water and I thirst no more. He gives me living water and I thirst no more. He gives me living water and I thirst no more. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Check one, check two. All right, kids, it's time. Those of you heading off to Children's Church today, be free. Amen. Escape while you can. All right. Oh, is she going to try today? Is she going to try Children's Church today? All right, sissy, you can do it. You can do it. It'll work. Hey, man, just hunker down. Hang in there. All right, those of you with us online, good to have you this morning, amen. And those of you visiting with us, let's give our visitors a round of applause for being here. It's always an answer to prayer. There's so many churches in the area. I'm telling you, everybody and everyone wants to start a church today. And a lot of them are in it for the biz, you know, for the this right here. But you folks here, man, I think you're here for the word. So let's take our Bibles and turn today to 2 Samuel chapter 9. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. This is our last kind of New Year's sermon, New Year's message. Starting tonight, we'll be back in our series of messages on Leviticus. And then starting next Sunday, we'll be back in our series of messages on the Gospel of Matthew. So, but I want to give you one more just kind of good shot in the arm, thinking about New Year's and how it's going to go for you in 2023, and maybe, I don't know, make some decisions today, make some decisions this coming week that will set you up for a better year, set you up for a better year, amen? So, 2 Samuel chapter 9, oh man, is she going to take her to the nursery? She's going to go work that nursery. Amen. That is awesome. 2 Samuel chapter 9. If you found it this morning, would you say amen?
Amen.
All right. The Word of God reads this, beginning in verse 1. Then David said, "Is there yet anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. And they called him to David, and the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "I am your servant." The king said, "Is there not yet anyone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?" And Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan who is crippled in both feet." So the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Micah, the son of Amiel in Lodabar." Then King David sent and brought him from the house of Micah, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and prostrated himself And David said to Mephibosheth, and he said, here is your servant. David said to him, do not fear, for I will surely show kindness to you for the sake of your father Jonathan, and will restore to you all the land of your grandfather Saul, and you will eat at my table regularly. Again, he prostrated himself and said, what is your servant that you should regard a dead dog like me? Then the king called Saul's servant Ziba and said to him, all that belonged to Saul and to all his house I have given to your master's grandson. You and your sons and your servants shall cultivate the land for him, and you shall bring in the produce so that your master's grandson may have food. Nevertheless, Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall eat at my table regularly. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, according to all that my lord the king commands his servant, so your servant will do. So Mephibosheth ate at David's table as one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all who lived in the house of Ziba were servants to Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he ate at the king's table regularly. Now he was lame in both feet. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy, inerrant word today. And we pray, as we always pray, that our hearts and minds would be open to receive your word today, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would take it and apply it to our own situation, our own circumstance. And Father God, we pray that as we preach the word and hear the word, that, Lord, our hearts would change. We would become more like Christ because of our being here today. And we would take the word out of here when we leave. And Lord, as we go through this morning, if there's one here that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that this would be the hour, this would be the moment, this would be the appointed time that they receive Christ and walk this aisle and let everyone know here today that they have Jesus in their heart or they want Jesus in their heart. Lord, we'd love to take somebody down the Romans road and lead them to Christ today. So, Father God, we give you praise today for what you're doing in us and with us. In spite of us, Lord, you use us, and we thank you and we praise you for that. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, what are we talking about today? We're talking about the incredible power of what you say, the incredible power of your words. I was kind of taken back this week watching all the shenanigans going on in the House of Representatives. Unbelievable. I can't put it into words. I was just like, what? Are you kidding? And that was a great platform for people, for representatives that wanted to raise money for their reelection. So anytime you make, and I'll try not to get too political today, but let me just jump off in it a little bit. Anytime you make politics entertainment, you're losing as a country. You are losing. So I don't know how that changes. You know, I vote for somebody after I pray in good conscience on who to vote for, candidate, what's your platform. Oh, you look like you have a Christian, biblically based platform. I don't agree with everything of your platform, but for me as a Christian, it kind of lines up with my mindset, with how I think the world ought to be. So I'm going to vote for you, right? And so you're going to represent me in the House of Representatives. You're going to represent me as a senator. Or you're going to represent me as the President of the United States. Or you're going to represent me in the State House or whatever it may be. But man, you go do the work. You go do the business. I don't want to see it. I tell you, I saw one House of Representative. I thought he was going to lay hands on another House of Representative. And I thought, I didn't need to see that. They didn't need to do it. I didn't need to see it. Whenever politics becomes entertainment, we lose as a country. Pray that through. Think about that. I don't know who you can write, who you can call. But think about it. Where are we at? The incredible power of what you say. A king expressed one of the most beautiful acts of kindness to an outcast in this passage. For years, the half-crazed lunatic Saul had obsessively hunted who? He had obsessively hunted David like a big game trophy. Now that Saul was dead, David had been what? Just as God had said, David had been crowned king of Israel. Now, it was a common practice in those days to exterminate all the members of a previous dynasty to prevent any descendant from seeking the throne, as long as a spark of life from that family still smoldered. It was a threat to the new king. Yet David's response was quite the contrary. He asked, "Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" 2 Samuel 9:1. Now, the kindness that David offered was a deeper demonstration of love that is undeserved, love that is unearned, and love that is unrepayable. See, David had made a promise to Jonathan, his beloved friend and the son of Saul. He'd made a promise that he would show kindness to the remaining members of Saul's household, per 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 15 and 16. And David now intended to keep that promise. Finding the only remaining blood of Saul's family was not a simple matter, however. But David located a grandson by the name of Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan. We first learn of him in 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4. The Word of God reads, "Now Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son crippled in his feet. He was 5 years old when the report of Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it happened that in her hurry to flee, he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth." He was crippled, living in obscurity and poverty in a remote and barren corner of the kingdom. Once found, the man with the near unpronounceable name hobbled into the throne room of the most powerful king. And when he appeared before David, I'm sure he expected the worst. "I've been sequestered here, I've been brought in here, and they're about to lop my head off right here in front of the king." He probably thought, "I'm going to be killed because Saul was my grandfather." But instead, we have 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 7. "David said to him, 'Do not fear, for I will surely show kindness to you for the sake of your father Jonathan, and will restore to you all the land of your grandfather Saul, and you shall eat at my table regularly.'" David's words were not just a token gesture. David's words, they were extravagant. They were symbolic of his love for Jonathan. His words were an act of grace, symbolic of God's love for David. David, the strong and famous king, he reached out to Mephibosheth, the cripple and outcast, and he expressed kindness to him like he had never known before. And my plea to you, or my encouragement for you, or my kind of, you know, prayer life thinking about you in 2023, is that we can put the blinders on to all the division out there. We can put the blinders on to all the hate out there. We can put the blinders on and we can think biblically. We can think in matters of truth, in matters of grace, in matters of kindness, and we can extend the kindness to each other and to those out there that so desperately need that fresh breath of wind washing over them, words of kindness. So what can we learn about the words we speak from this story for 2023? Can you believe it's 2023? Man, we're the second Sunday in 2023. You're taking notes or you want to take a note, I share with you several things. Number one, dignity is a most valuable asset. Dignity. Look at verse 8. Again, he prostrated himself and said, "What is your servant that you should regard a dead dog like me?" Can you believe he called himself that? A dead dog. He called himself a dead dog. A dead dog, which was to compare himself to the nastiest, foulest thing he could think of. Notice he didn't say a cat. It said dead dog here. Amen. Those of you with dogs ought to think about getting a cat, maybe. Amen. Is he serious? No, I say that as a jest. Amen. For a Jew, however, a dead dog was a double slam. How so, Pastor? Well, to them, a dog was the most repulsive animal imaginable, even more repulsive than a cat. On top of that, anything dead was vile and unclean. So he thought of himself, Mephibosheth thought of himself as a pile of garbage. He thought of himself as a man of shame. There's people like that that you know. They think of themselves like what I just described. They need your words of kindness in 2023. Somebody say amen? I'm telling you. Well, what is Mephibosheth revealing about himself, preacher? He's revealing about himself that he has low esteem. He's revealing about himself that he cannot believe the grace that is being bestowed upon him because he does not think of himself as being worthy of any kind of dignity. See, Mephibosheth was a candidate for some kind words, and David responded appropriately to affirm Mephibosheth's dignity. Yeah, he gave him some dignity that day. See, words have a powerful way of bringing healing and restoration. Do you believe that? Words have a powerful way. A kind word can restore one's dignity, setting one on an esteemed path. Now, you're the gatekeepers of those words. You have the choice on what words to use. Point number two. Acceptance is the most wonderful feeling. If you look at this passage, maybe sometime this afternoon or tonight, or I don't know, maybe in the morning, whenever you do your quiet time. If you look at verse 7, maybe underline it. Look at verse 10, maybe underline it. Look at verse 11, maybe underline it. Maybe not the whole verse, but, you know, make a little star by it. Verse 13. In each of those four verses, David talks about how Mephibosheth is going to eat at his table regularly. Regularly. Mephibosheth's life had been one of rejection. When disaster came and Saul and Jonathan had been killed in battle, the nurse who was to care for him fled in fear, and Mephibosheth, as we read, suffered a fall and was left crippled for the rest of his life. No orthopedic surgeon back then. They couldn't cut you open, put pins in you, straighten you out, re-break this, re-break that. You just healed up the way you healed up. They did the best they could. He lived in obscurity, and he lived in fear. He felt lost. He felt forgotten. He felt unimportant. David, in one magnificent gesture of kindness, he reached out to him, restored him to an exalted position, right? To eat at the king's table was not a temporary honor. It meant he would have a pension from the king for the rest of his life. David's kindness would continue throughout Mephibosheth's, that's a hard word to say, life. So your words in 2023, your words, use them to help the dejected know that they are accepted. Now, you say, preacher, what all we accepted? Well, you don't accept them on God's behalf, but you ought to be able to love the sinner and not the sin. Right? you ought to be able to accept them on that level. That makes sense? So too often, we hate both of them, the sin and the sinner. And it's pumped into our minds 24/7 to divide up, to be at each other's throats. When we get off of the issue and we begin to attack the person, that's when it's over. It really gets difficult to try to bring things back together. Acceptance is a most wonderful feeling. Yes, yes. Amen. Thirdly, this morning, restoration is a most cherished need. It's a most cherished need to be restored. Look at verse 7 again. David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will surely show kindness to you for the sake of your father Jonathan and will restore you and will restore to you all the land of your grandfather Saul." Will restore. Restore means to what? It means to bring back into existence. It means to put something back in a proper position. What David did for Mephibosheth is what the father in Jesus' parable did for the prodigal son. What the Holy Spirit convicts us of, that we're sinners in need of a Savior, and then when we finally make the choice, and the penny finally drops, the Holy Spirit squeezes and said, "You're a sinner in need of a Savior," and we finally surrender, we finally submit, we finally drop, we finally give up. Then the Holy Spirit can restore our spirit and bring it to life. And bring it to life. Restoration. Mephibosheth inherited the riches of his grandfather. David, let's be honest, David, he could have ignored Mephibosheth, could have ignored him. Who would have blamed him? Who would have confronted him if he had? But David did not ignore him. What about the people like Mephibosheth all around us? Some with broken hearts, others with damaged emotions, a few with crushed spirits, many with wounded bodies, others with shattered souls, and a lot with physical needs. And the question is, are you ignoring them? Don't ignore them. Speak words of restoration. You guys like the lights in here today? You like the lights? You know, those are LED lights. They look like regular incandescent lights, but they're not. But we'd never got to LEDs had it not been for the incandescent. Remember those incandescent? You could buy four of them for 50 cents, right? They last, what, maybe 600 hours? Take it out, chunk it, slap another one up in there, right? These LEDs have come out, they're supposed to last years. I may have one or two that have gone 18 months, but they too have to be replaced. But back to incandescents. When Thomas Edison was developing the incandescent light bulb, an apprentice dropped the completed light bulb after hours of work. He butterfingered that thing and dropped it. After more hours of fashioning a new bulb, when it was time to carry the new one, Edison called that assistant over and handed him back the bulb. He had dropped the previous one, but Edison gave him a second chance. The act restored the man's life. And friend, what I'm saying today is we all need people like that in our lives. We all need people like that. We need to be people like that for other people. Amen? I continue on. Kindness is a most godly trait. Kindness. It is a most godly trait. Our culture today tells us that revenge is a most appreciable trait. Or that strength is a most appreciable trait. But the Bible tells us that kindness is a great trait. Look at verse 3, would you? With me? Amen? The king said, is there not yet any one of the house of Saul whom I may show the kindness of God? The kindness of God. The word for kindness is that great biblical Hebrew word. Now, I make this sound in the living room and I get in trouble for it. I'm too loud with this sound in the bathroom. I get in trouble for it. What sound are you talking about? It's that rough H sound. You know, guys, when you're out there and you got something in your throat and nobody's around, and you reach deep down inside your throat, you get ready to send one on its way. Amen? That's how you say hesed. You go, hesed. It's deep. It means kindness. It comes from within. Hesed, right? It means loving faithfulness. Hesed. God had demonstrated grace. He had demonstrated kindness to David in so many ways. His life had been spared on numerous occasions. He fought the giant Goliath and he won. He had escaped the snares and dangers of wild beasts and was still alive. His life had been redeemed from the pit of pain and hunger and desertion more than a few times. Now David wanted to reciprocate that kindness. Those who've been touched by the grace of God, they want to pass it on. So that, you know, we're kind of coming to a pivot point in the message. If you've experienced the grace and the kindness of God, boy, you don't want to hold that in. You want to let that out. The very fact that you can testify of the grace and the kindness of God is an indicator that you've experienced the grace and the kindness of God. So why hold that and let that out? Why don't we let that out? Well, we don't let that out because of our culture. We don't let that out because of social media. We don't let that out because we are so entrenched and focused on so many other things than that. You know, when you get in that car, when you lay that head down in bed, when you rise up in the morning, when you get ready to sit down for lunch, when you take that remote and about to click that TV on, when you're on that laptop, that computer, your personal device, you have a choice. You have a choice. You have a choice. Let me try to pivot here and make some sense out of all this. Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but good words make it glad. What are we talking about? We're talking about having some good, kind words come out of us in 2023. Amen? James chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 reads this. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man. Is anybody perfect here? No? Able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Now, you cannot choose which way the winds will blow in your life. You don't know what's coming next week. You don't know what's coming this afternoon. You don't know what's coming tomorrow. You don't know what's coming in the rest of this message. You cannot choose which way the winds will blow in your life, but you can choose which way you're going to steer that rudder. You can choose. One or two little words can shape the whole course of your life. One or two little words can cause somebody to go off course in their life, for better or for worse. Back to our House of Representatives. Mr. Santos, is he from New York? Mr. Santos, Representative Santos. He was sworn in, by the way. What amazes me is that he calls the things he put on his resume, he calls those embellishments. That's what he calls them. And yet, after those things have been vetted and they are proven to be outright lies, he still feels comfortable enough to go to the House chambers and to sit and to wait and to vote on proceedings and become a sworn-in member of the House of Representatives. And what bothers me the more, and this is what I love about being a pastor that really doesn't have a dog in the hunt. I cannot believe nobody in the Republican caucus called him on the carpet. I saw a few of them this morning taking a victory lap from it for Mr. McCarthy. And the reporter putting it to him, saying, "Well, what about Santos? Well, everybody wants to crawfish. Well, young people, let me tell you something. Not everywhere is like Washington, D.C. We might call a little white lie on the surface. You might call it a little white lie on the surface. But when it's found out at your job, they may very well fire you. They may very well fire you. We may say, I'm only joking. Have you heard that before? I've said it. I'm only joking. But the best way to ruin a friendship, the best way to hurt somebody's feelings, the best way to bury a marriage is a lot of little digs. Oh, I'm only joking. I'm only joking. How many church splits because someone could not hold in criticism or somebody else couldn't push back on gossip? The right word at the right time can open the right door for somebody, friend. That text, that post, that tweet, that old archaic email, or that ancient phone call, it carries more weight than you think. The big question you want to ask yourself, are you ready? Is God directing the muscle that directs my life? Are you still with me? Oh, man. We continue on in James chapter 3, 5b. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire? And the tongue is the fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. Every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. In these verses, James says that the tongue can destroy your life like a fire or a wild animal. If you've not figured it out this far in the message, words can destroy relationships. Words can divide a church. Words can tear a nation apart. Tear it apart. James says an untamed tongue can bite like a poisonous beast. Psalm 140 verse 3 says of evil people, says they sharpen their tongues as a serpent. Poison of a viper is under their lips. James warns us in these verses in James 3, 5 through 12. He warns us the tongue, he says, is a fire. He says a world of iniquity. Now, looking that up in the New Testament Greek, the word for world is the Greek word cosmos, meaning a system, meaning a culture, meaning a whole world gets created by the lies or negative words we speak, and it gets quickly out of control, and it pollutes everything. One person speaking like that, as described in James 3, one person speaking like that unchecked could quickly destroy a friendship, devastate a family, and divide a whole country. Divide a whole country. Really quick. Really, really quick. So, if you get pulled into committing those offenses, if you get sucked into that, whether you meant to or not, the smoke damage is done, friend, and might never go away in your lifetime. Words are kind of like taking a piece of wood, taking your nail gun. Y'all use nail gun or hammer? Nail gun or hammer? Both. Okay. Way to blow up my illustration. All right. But let's take the hammer then. You take those nails, drive it into that old board. Oh, I didn't mean to put that one there. Oh, man, that was the wrong spot. Wrong nail. Well, you get it out. I've got all kinds of tools, pry bars and flat this and nail that. You get it out. But it looks pretty bad once you get it out, don't it? Yeah. You can fill it in, but it's not quite the same. You can sand it up, that's abrasive, isn't it? Right? It's best to use the right word the first time. Amen? I thank God. I know God. I know God says in His Word that we have to decide, back to us, we have to decide in every circumstance what we will say. We've got to think about it. People know you. People know you by how you talk. What would they say about what you say? Will we bless David? Be like David? Will we bless? Or will we curse? Like what we see in James. What will we do? James says God has had it when we praise Him, but curse our brothers and sisters. If we lie, if we abuse, if we enrage, if we decry, if we flirt, if we gossip, if we slander, if we criticize, if we insult, if we flatter, if we deceive, if we make false promises, and I've not covered it all, that's the tip of it, and we're saved, God can't stand it. It's bad, bitter water. It's a wrong fruit. It's just plain yuck. Now, those of you that have a dog, do you have a dog? Raise your hand if you have a dog. Do you love your dog? Do you love it? Amen. We finally dogless. We have no more dogs. I was riding my bike the other day down at the Spring Creek Greenway, I think it was Friday, and I passed the dog park. There was a couple. They had three dachshunds, and we just buried our last dog. It was a dachshund, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to stop right here. So I stopped, and there's a bench there, and I got on the bench and busted out a little protein bar and was eating a protein bar, watching these three little dachshunds. Them little dachshunds are so cute, amen? I don't know if there's a better dog than a dachshund. Now, I never could train one. There's something about dachshunds, they refuse to be trained. Now, some dogs can be trained, amen? Dogs, in general, can be tamed. I'm not sure that cats can be tamed or trained, but dogs can. If you go up the food chain on cats and you get to lions, they can be tamed. I have seen somebody put their head in a lion's mouth. I don't advise that, but I've seen it. But the question is, how do we tame our own mouths? How do we tame this? James says we cannot do it. Or we can't do it ourselves. In the spirit of Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, the Word of God reads, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Right? Now, this is a big takeaway. You want to shake yourself awake at this point. What I have found in my own personal experience is the more that I praise God, the more that I worship God with this instrument, the less destructive things I do with this instrument. The more I praise God with this instrument, the less negative things are spoken with this instrument. In other words, the more I praise, the less I moan. The more I praise, the less I complain. The more I praise, the less negative I am. The more I praise, it kind of turns it around. Amen? The more I bless God and lift Him up, the less my tongue gets used to pull people down. I think that's what James is trying to say to me. I think that's what James is trying to say to you. So, 2023, January 8th, what can you do? Give your tongue back to God. Amen? Give your tongue back to God as you present yourself for your worship. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Ask the Holy Spirit. We're about to get to a time of invitation. Ask the Holy Spirit to take control, because if He directs your tongue, He directs your whole life. What can I suggest we attempt to do in 2023 to start practicing taming of our tongue so we can speak words of kindness and love? Friend, you've got to allow the person of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's water, the Holy Spirit's power to flow over your salty tongue and wash your mouth out. For kindness to be produced, secondly, for kindness to be produced, firstly, allow the Holy Spirit. Secondly, for kindness to be produced, this is a struggle for some of us. For kindness to be produced, sometimes you must first be quiet. Again, James said, slow to speak, quick to... That's it. Now, that's hard for some of us. But where words are many, the Bible says, sin is not absent. So think that through. As you live each day in 2023 at home, as you live each day at school, as you live each day at work, as you live each day at church, wherever you are, doctor's office, the drugstore, the Walmarts, wherever, the Costco's, the Kroger's, the HEB's, wherever you are, the Randall's, let's get them all in there, the Target's, wherever you are, you'll find yourself in situations where you are asked to comment, where you are asked to speak, where you are approached to use your words. You come to a crossroads, and often the volatility of the situation can ignite or dissipate merely on the words you utter. I want you to think about it this way when you go into the rest of this year. The situation is like a little fire. It's not real big. It's not out of control. The little fire is not destructive yet. Not just yet. But you have a bucket in each hand. In one bucket is water. Let's call that truth. Let's call that kindness. Let's call that acceptance. Let's call that restoration. Let's call that loving accountability. Let's call that, I'm not going to enable you. Let's call it that. Amen? In one bucket, you got water. In the other bucket, you got gasoline. Let's call that hurt. Let's call that pain. Let's call that ridicule. Let's call that attack. At that point, you're given a choice. You can pour the bucket of water out on the fire and put that thing out, or you can pour the bucket of gasoline on the fire and see the fire spread out of control. Your choice is to allow the Holy Spirit to control your tongue. And if you don't, that old dying flesh is going to control it for you. You got to choose. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your words in 2 Samuel, your words in the Epistle of James. We thank you for your word today from the Proverbs and the Psalms. Your word today from the prophet Zechariah. We thank you for your words. Lord, may we take your words to heart. And may we seek to be that kind Christian example. that grace has happened in us and with us. And Lord, may we spill that kindness forward and onward as we go throughout this year. We're still going to have conflict. There's still going to be times to get upset, times we're going to have to stand up and speak. But Lord, may we think when we speak, to speak the truth in love. Thinking about the other person's dignity, thinking about the other person's right to have an opinion, thinking about the other person's opportunity to perhaps be restored to God by what I say and how I say it. So, Lord, that looms heavy over the room today. The Bible tells us that we've all stumbled in this area. None of us in here perfect. But, Lord, the question that I have, or the question that your Spirit has, is who will take heed? Who will apply? Who will go forward with truth today and make the changes in their life, in their heart, in their mind, to be more like Christ because of this message? Well, that's really where it's at. We got to respond or not respond. The prayer is we will respond. Lord, may we respond appropriately, correctly. For your glory and honor, may we respond. Lord, as we began this thing, if there's somebody that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, and even through the preaching of this message, they are sitting here today under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, may they come. May they step out in a few moments, walk this way, and inquire what it means to receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for 2023. Thank you for the rain last night. Thank you for all your many blessings. We praise you today with these tongues, with these mouths. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, you'll stand with us all over the sanctuary. Brother Jeremiah is going to lead us in a time of invitation. I'm down front. The altars are open. You come as the Lord leads you. Amen? You come. amen. We're going to have a closing prayer, and as we do, we're going to pray for Justin Heibarger. So, Justin, you come here and stand here, brother. And then Dad, Grandma, Uncle, y'all come gather around him. Going to miss you, buddy. I'm a hugger. Bless your heart. Amen. Enjoy that hair while it lasts, son. He's going in the Navy. And when's he leaving?
Tuesday.
He can leave on Tuesday. So he's about to find out what high and tight is. Amen? He's about to find out. We got a nice head of hair. I wish I had that hair, Fred. Well, I'm telling you, man, you ought to touch that hair. It's beautiful. All right, Dad, gather around him. The rest of you church family, y'all come gather around him. We're going to pray for his safety. And as we do, we're going to pray for Ronnie Vaculik as well. Amen? Brother Ronnie has a growth on his pancreas, and so he's in the midst of getting that all checked out, finding out what that's all about. So, amen. Aren't y'all glad COVID's over?
Yes.
Well, there's a new variant, but anyway. Take your vitamin C. That's all I can tell you. Wash your hands. Keep your fingers out your nose. Amen? Amen. Visitors, you can come down and join us. Chad and your family. You're more than welcome, brother. Come on down, man.
Don't be shy. We love you.
All right. Good to have visitors with us. And
amen.
Praying with us today. All right. Let's close it out. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, and we thank you for the blessings of life. We thank you for church family, Lord. We thank you for how we get to celebrate the big milestones and accomplishments, Lord, and things that come our way in different members' lives. And so, Lord, we just pray for Justin, this decision that he has made, led by you, we believe, Lord, to go into the Navy, go into the nuclear program, Father God. We pray a special prayer, just a hedge of protection around him.
Amen.
Lord, we pray for a good training group when he goes to basic. Pray for, Lord, they got to break them down and all make them a team. But Lord, we pray that that things would be done in a civil fashion, let's just say that. And so, Lord, we just pray you protect him through that process. And then, Lord, give him the strength and the stamina to undergo what he's got to go through during basic. Pray for your protecting hand upon him there. Lord, we pray that he makes some good Christian friends in the midst of that.
Amen.
And we pray that even in that basic, that those Christian brothers can be a witness to those that are around them. We pray that they would be a source of strength and encouragement to others as he goes through basic. And then, Lord, once you put him in his school, we just pray that Justin is able to excel and apply all that knowledge and that brain power that you've given him, Lord.
Amen.
And just do great things with him there in the Navy. We're praying for safety there. We're praying for safety for Mom and Dad as they go visit him, Lord, if they get to do that when he graduates basic, comes out of basic in other times. Lord, just give them safety as they do that. And, Lord, we're just looking forward to great praise reports about what Justin is doing and how he is he's succeeding there in the Navy. We praise you and thank you for our armed service. Thank you for our military, Lord, some of the best people in our country. We thank you for great Americans. So, Lord, as we lift up Justin, we also want to pray for Brother Ronnie.
Amen.
Pray that you touch his body. Lord, we pray for his gastroenterologist that he'd be seeing here in a week or so. And we're praying, Lord, that there will be a game plan, there will be some kind of a solution,
amen,
whether it be surgery or chemo or whatever it be, God. We just pray that Lord, there'd be a game plan. But we lift Brother Ronnie up to you. We pray your healing hand upon his life. Lord, even now, as I've been praying this week, I've been praying this thing would shrink. Lord, there'd be no growth when he goes for that second time. Lord, we know you're the God of healing, and you do still perform miracles, Father God. And so, Lord, we're putting that before you, and we're just selfishly crying out on Ronnie's behalf. Lord, asking for a miracle for him. We know, Brother Ronnie, to give you the praise and glory that is due your name for touching his body and for touching his life. So, Lord, we lift these two men up to you today. We thank you for this congregation. We thank you for what they represent to this community. And Lord, we pray that you just continue to use him to bring glory and honor to yourself. Thank you for allowing us to have a part of it, Lord. Thank you for the great privilege and honor it is to be a part of this group. We love you today. Lord, may we be able to say when we leave here, it was good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said?
Amen.
All right, you folks are dismissed. Have a great afternoon. I'll see some of you back tonight. We'll be back in the book of Leviticus. Y'all be safe, be careful. Watch yourselves.